Sawate to Skibbley, and welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's Word. Your boy's going to be doing some etymologizing today, which is going to be a little bit different. Well, more so actually etymologizing legal terminology, breaking it down. But it's really not etymologizing as much as just like translating the Latin back into English for y'all, because all this legal terminology, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to give you the translation. And I'm basically going to tell you kind of the definition in when it presents in the court of law. Stop! You violated the court of law. Pay the court a fine or serve your sentence. Comment and or leave a response or whatever if you know that reference, because you're an OG RPG-er if you've ever heard that. Also, you're a big fantasy lover in general and lover of Tamriel. That's all the info I'm giving you with that one. That being said, let's get on into some of this stuff. I could do a little pluggity plug. I realized that I didn't do that on my last episode regarding relative pronouns. Hopefully you guys got some information out of that one. Next one that we'll be diving into after that one with relative pronouns, if I remember correctly, is going to be probably the present passive system. And I always got to teach the present passive system in English to my students because I have high schoolers that don't know how to change a passive sentence into an active sentence. And that's a problem. Because I feel like I'm always doing the job of the English teacher when the English teacher should be doing their job. I'm the Latin teacher. Stop making my job harder than it's already being made right now. That being said, I'll stop throwing the shade and we'll get right on into it. Alrighty, so starting with the legal terminology, we have ab initio. Ab initio refers to the translation being from the beginning. Definition, it's really used to describe a situation that is valid and binding from the start or that has always been really in effect. So etymologically, it comes from the Latin from the beginning. So it just, honestly, etymologic, translation, the true sense, probably going to be the same things for the most part. In fact, actually all the way. Second one, we have actus reus. Actus reus. And I'm going to be pronouncing them in the more classical form of Latin. So you might not, it might be said differently in the court of law. I don't know. Well, in the Latin, it translates actus reus is a guilty act, a guilty matter. Its definition is in the court of law, a guilty act or omission that is the basis really for criminal liability. Third one, ad litem. This means for the suit, and it literally translates in Latin as for or towards the suit, to or towards or for the suit. It's used to refer to a person appointed to represent another in a legal action. So if you are ad litem, you are basically appointed in representation, and you might be a public defender in that case. Ad nauseam. We hear this also just like in general when people just belabor a point to ad nauseam. Ad meaning to or towards or for sometimes, like in ad litem. And the nauseam referring to point of nausea in Latin. Nausea in this case. So literally the translation roughly, if you wanted to say it idiomatically in the Latin, it would be to the point of nausea or just to nausea itself would be the literal translation. And its definition is used to describe an action or argument that is represented to the point of tedium, really, or kind of disgust, like I said, that belaboring. It just all, just shut up. Thank you. Sometimes I am ad nauseum with my ramble bambles, or maybe you guys, I don't know, everybody's also sweet. And, not making me feel so self-conscious about my idiosyncrasies, but my ramble bambles can be symbol in rambling, bambling quite a bit. That being said, amicus curiae. Amicus, friend. That's also in the Spanish. It's where we get amigo. Amicus is the male friend. Amica would be a female friend. And then if you wanted to, because we're in this day and age, if you wanted to refer to yourself as a they, them, you could be an amicum representing the neuter gender. Amicus curiae, however, curiae is a genitive noun. Genitive refers to the fancy-dancy word, part of speech associated with it syntactically, possessive noun. If you didn't know, now you know. How are we going to take curiae, which means court, and make it into a possessive noun? We could either say courts with a ticky mark S and say the courts, amicus friend, or we could say of the court. So let's go ahead and do the more formal version and translate it literally as friend of the court, or the court's friend if you wanted to say it that way. That's exactly what it means. Definition: a person or organization that is not a party to the case, but is permitted to offer information to the court that may help in deciding that case. There you go. Here we go with it would be pronounced caveat emptor, but it's spelled caveat, right? That's caveat mean, it literally means let it be warned, essentially. Let it be warned or let it beware. Or let's be aware. It's more of a warning type of thing. The caveat, right? That's what a caveat is. It's a warning. It's on the side, like caveat, you guys, caveat, kiddos. Remember, if you don't do your homework, you're gonna get F. Emptor refers to buyer. So in this case, translation, caveat is a jussive subjunctive. Which would be let the buyer beware, essentially, is what it means in the Latin. And definition, according to the court of law, essentially, a principle that the buyer, rather than the seller, is responsible for checking the quality and suitability of goods before that purchase. There you go. Corpus delicti. This translates literally as the body of the crime, because delicti being a genitive possessive noun again. So instead we could say the crime's body or the body of the crime. Definition, according to Almighty Google or wherever you want to look it up, would be roughly that it serves as the actual components of a crime that must be proven in order to establish guilt. Body of the crime. You have to substantiate a body of evidence in order to deliberate on that thing. De facto. In fact, or about the fact. De facto, in fact. That's literally how it translates. Or about the fact, because D can be about, it can be also from sometimes, or down from, but in this case, we could say about the fact, or it can say, in the court of law, it means in fact, but translated in the Latin, it would be more literally about the fact. Used to describe really a situation that is true in practice, even if it's not officially recognized. Next one is ex post facto, which means ex means after and, or I'm sorry, ex means out of, post means after, facto means the fact. Ex, and then facto is in the ablative because it's just the object of the preposition post, which is a ablative preposition, a static preposition. Ex means out of. Literally, it translates as out of, after the fact, essentially, but translated maybe more idiomatically, and how it's really referred to in the court of law is after the fact. And it's used to describe laws or regulations that are applied retroactively, retro back again, actively to do or done or act. So retroactively is to do back, essentially, pertaining to what has been done back. So they're being retroactive, looking back and changing those laws after the fact. Or looking at those regulations after the fact. And then last one here, habeas corpus. Again, habeas would be a subjunctive form of habeo, which means to have. But essentially, it's like you have, but essentially less do you have, I guess we could say. I don't know. The body, corpus being the body. This one isn't really a good translation, but I guess we could say you have the body. We'll go with that because that's really what it refers to in the definition according to the legal terminology. It's a legal act used to bring a person before court to determine if they are being detained lawfully. So there you go. And I'm going to leave it there with just 10 for you guys to percolate with. As you guys can see, all the legal terminology literally translates from the Latin back into English straight up. There's no real etymologizing here because it was just basically translating the Latin into English. But I hope you learned something new, and I hope you learned that there's a little bit more use that Latin can be implemented in as alongside or other than just medical and other things, toxicology, pathologies, all that good stuff that I really love to do. That being said, we'll leave it there. Thank yourself. I thank you. You rock and you're amazing and you're killing it. Thank you for supporting me. Tempus est discedere.